The meeting of the House Tax Committee will come to order. We do not have a quorum yet, so we will start taking testimony. So if Representative Preisel could join us, when we have a quorum, I will move House File 1485 be recommended to pass and sent to the Committee on Ways and Means. Welcome to the committee, Representative Preisel. And I know that you have some author's amendments, so if you could please describe the bill, sir, as it would be with your amendments included.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Speaker, or Mr. Chair. The first amendment that we will be moving is the, what's the number on that one? The A8 amendment. And is that, I believe that is the deal we worked out with the tribes. I have King Barrett here.
King Wilson.
Or King Wilson, Tom Barrett, never mind. Long day, geez. I'll be okay. I have King Wilson here on behalf of the charitable gambling, and he's going to go over this amendment.
Okay, Representative Creasel, I will be interrupting you or whoever is speaking as soon as we do have a quorum so we can officially take action.
Sounds good.
Please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir. And actually, excuse me, before we get going, how many, are there folks in the audience that have traveled some distance that would wish to testify with concerns on this bill? So the rest would be supporters or onlookers. And so what that means in this committee, when there's nobody against it, we get to the point and we get stuff going. So I'll officially, we do have a quorum, I'll officially call the meeting of the House Tax Committee to order. I will move members House File 1485 be recommended to pass and sent to the Committee on Ways and Means. I believe there is an author's amendment. And I will move that amendment. It is the A8 amendment. Could you please describe? Well, let's get the bill in the shape the author would like.
Okay.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. We now have the bill before us as amended. If you could please briefly describe the bill, that, or do you want to go to Mr. Wilson? Or?
Okay. This is Representative Miskins, right? So we'll do that separate.
Representative Creasel, do we also need to move the 11-2 amendment?
Okay.
Representative Creasel, I will move the H1485A11-2 amendment. This is another author's amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. We now have the bill in the shape that the author would like. If you could please present your bill, Representative Creasel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 1485 modernizes the current pull tab games within our current structure to allow charitable gambling organizations to survive and thrive in the years ahead. It's one of those deals where if you have pull tabs now or you're authorized to have pull tabs, this brings it into one of these machines here you're able to use. And so it's definitely the technology age we're in. This is something that I believe in. It's going to help the charities. It's going to help the bars and restaurants who've been struggling over the years. So I would appreciate your support on the bill. I have King Wilson here to answer any questions and talk technical issues.
If you could please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, sir.
Mr. Chair, committee members, my name is King Wilson. I'm the executive director of Allied Charities of Minnesota. And Representative Creasel did a nice job. Basically, the bill primarily does three things. Number one is it's going to make a change in the tax system that we have. The 11.2 amendment we just put on did change the bill so that after starting next July 1st, we're going to have all the taxes on lawful gambling instead of the different taxes we have right now, which is a very complicated, convoluted, onerous system, go to a flat tax of 9.0%. And as we're making this change, because as we look to modernize our current paper pull tabs and do a linked bingo, the monies from that will allow us to make this change that has probably been the number one sore spot that organizations have had. I think in your packets you might have seen the little blue sheet that had some numbers on it, and I'd just like to highlight, because it's the tax.
Mr. Wilson and members, those sheets are being passed out right now, so okay. We should have them shortly.
Mm-hmm. Very good. The key points relating to the tax committee is currently these 1,300 nonprofit tax-exempt organizations pay roughly about $36 million in taxes, and that is 20% of our net receipts, gross profits, which is sales minus prizes, and it is 46% after our expenses. So basically, charitable gambling organizations are paying 4 to 5% on average more than Minnesota's for-profit community. So the bill before you will make the tax end up being much more fair. It will allow organizations to modernize our current games, and most importantly, it will add to our bottom line. I know there's some folks that think that more money should go to the bottom line, and at the top of that list would be Minnesota's charitable gambling organizations. Because of the tax structure we have in place, we haven't been able to give as much as we'd like. And the bill before you would take us, last year we were at about $40 million, and it would generate an additional $120 million for the bottom line, the various programs and projects that these 1,300 organizations contribute to in their various communities. One thing I do want to point out about the bill, the amendment that you just adopted, the A8, there were the MIGA and the Indian tribes in the state had addressed at previous hearings some concerns. They crafted some language, and the A8 amendment that you adopted, I believe, does address the concerns that they expressed to us. One of them was to allow the devices to be only portable and handheld like this. I think on this sheet there are some different devices. We have now eliminated the ones that sit, the one like up here, or the one that's like a computer monitor. So we're from day one, we have not wanted to resemble a slot machine. There's actually some language in here that said it can't be a slot machine. These devices do not actually take cash themselves. What by doing it with the portable, the last thing we have wanted is for these places to be like casinos or mini casinos. We just want to take what we currently have and modernize it and solve our tax problem.
Okay, now I'll ask again, is there anyone in the audience that wish to testify with concerns on this bill? Okay, before we get going with anyone else here or questions, Representative Crawford moves the minutes of May 10th, 2011. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Okay, and just to clarify, members, the motion I made, I'm going to change the motion that I'm making, and when we get to that point, I'll be moving the House file as amended without recommendation to the Ways and Means Committee. That'll be the motion. And members, I apologize. I know both caucuses have caucuses going on right now, but we needed to get this tax meeting in, and so I do apologize that I had to pull you out of your very interesting and stimulating caucuses. Other folks who would like to testify on this bill? Wow, maybe we'll get back to caucus. Now, at this point, House File 1485 as amended, I will open it up to questions from members. Oh, I'm sorry. More? Are there any other amendments? Seeing an amendment at the desk, I will report the amendment. It's the A11-0423 amendment, a Bisgins amendment. It's not coded. That's what it will actually be. It says on page 1 after line 21, insert. And the gentleman from Scott, if you could please describe your amendment to the committee.
No, thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this basically takes 1% of the revenue from the state, and it dedicates it to 0.5% to problem gambling education throughout the state, and another 0.5% to programs which actually help families and people who have problem gambling problems.
Okay, Representative Bisgin moves to amend House File 1485. The second Grossman is files and says page 1 after line 21, insert. And if you just, members, if you just want to code that as the A11-0423 amendment. Would the author like to comment on the amendment or questions the amendment?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've spoke with Representative Bisgins about this amendment. This was originally proposed by Representative Bannion, but we didn't have enough time to get it squared away. So I do support this amendment. It's a good thing.
Discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Congressman Lucheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I apologize, we were in caucus, so I missed. Did you walk through the revenue estimate on the bill yet?
We have not.
Okay, because I'm wondering how this amendment changes the revenue estimate. It's dedicated.
We have Cynthia or Ms. Schill here. If you could go up to the front desk.
Good.
And this is, we're on the amendment, and so the question has to do with how the revenue estimate would be changed if the amendment was adopted.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Ms. Schill will correct me if I'm wrong, but I am under the understanding that this amendment is about $450,000 a year.
And I believe we're working off the May 19th amendment. Ms. Templin, if you could please run us through the preliminary analysis here.
Mr. Chair, Cynthia Templin, House Fiscal Staff. I'm looking at the revenue estimate dated May 19th, 2011. It's to House Bill 1485, the second engrossment, as amended with the A11 amendment. This is the revenue estimate for the bill as amended, and on the bottom line to the general fund, these provisions would have a revenue gain in fiscal 12 of $1.7 million and $130,000 in fiscal 12 and $490,000 in the tails each year. There is an appropriation out of the special revenue fund to the Gambling Control Board for FTE, and that is an appropriation that was added in the state government finance bill. And then to the amendment that moved by Representative Biskins, the one-half, 1% dedication, that is, according to earlier estimates in fiscal notes, and I do have a fiscal note on that provision that I can have distributed to the committee, it is approximately $190,000. To the Commissioner of Human Services and $140,000 to the Commissioner of Human Services and $140,000 to the Gambling Control Board in the first fiscal year, and then $190,000 for each of those funds thereafter.
Questions for Ms. Templin? Representative Lucheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know we're on Representative Biskin's amendment, so I don't have it on that, although we don't have that information in front of us, but I hope we can still ask Ms. Templin questions on the revenue estimate.
Would you like to do that now on the amendment or when we get to the bill?
Whatever your preference is, Mr. Chair.
Representative Downey.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I may be getting at some of what Representative Lucheski wanted to ask. I'm just curious, the mechanics of the calculation, the percentage allocation off of the Biskins amendment, does that go off of the total dollars of this entire lawful gambling tax receipts and not the number on the fiscal note is just the difference between as is and future. So I'm assuming your estimate of the impact of this amendment is on the total.
Ms. Templin.
Mr. Chair, Representative Downey, I believe it is on the total.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And Mr. Chair, I do have a fiscal note that I can have distributed.
Ms. Temple, okay. Okay. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't know if Ms. Templin knows this or if Representative Biskins knows this, but on the last line of your amendment, Representative Biskins, you have money appropriated by this paragraph must supplement and must not replace existing state funds. This wouldn't mean that if we were in a budget crisis, we wouldn't be able to reduce those funds if need be through the Human Services Department or the Gambling Control Board, would it?
Representative Biskins?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and a great question, Representative Anderson. You know, the thought is that with that, especially in this area, and we have a lot of people that have concerns about problem gambling and how gaming has negatively affected people's lives. And so at the end of the day, the intention of this amendment is to put more revenue than currently is going into these programs. And so that's the purpose for that sentence. It's well worth having the debate whether or not this sentence should be here. You know, if we're talking about a $3 or $4 billion provision, then I'd probably fight very hard to get it out. Right? However, when we're looking at $190,000 provision for something like this, I think it's appropriate. But Mr. Chair, it's the will of the committee.
Representative Anderson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Templin, do we know how much the Department of Human Services and the Gambling Control Board already spend on this effort?
Ms. Templin?
Mr. Chair and Representative Anderson, I did check with the fiscal analyst for human services to see if there is an existing appropriation for the compulsive gambling treatment program, and John Waltz did respond back that there's a $1.5 million appropriation for that activity right now.
Representative Anderson?
Mr. Chair, and for the Gambling Control Board, I do not have any information.
Representative Anderson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Biskins, I like the intent of your amendment. I just have concerns about that last sentence.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Anderson, your concerns are appreciated. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move on line 1.23 after the period, strike the remainder of the line, and strike line 1.24, and I'd like to incorporate that into my amendment.
Okay, so incorporate, members, on line 1.23 after the period. Strike the rest of the line and strike line 1.24. Representative Biskins has incorporated that in his amendment. Further discussion to the amendment. Representative Lincheski.
Mr. Chair. I don't know if Ms. Templin was going to give us that information that is about this amendment before we vote or not. I thought I heard there was a revenue estimate on this piece, but
Ms. Templin.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lincheski, the revenue estimate on the amendments.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair and Representative Lincheski, the revenue estimate is on in a different version of the bill, a different amended version. I can have that distributed for reference.
Well, Mr. Chair, if it's on the old May, thank you, Mr. Chair. If it's on the old May 17th one, we have that. I don't know if it's on that one.
Ms. Templin?
I don't have it in front of me, but I believe that is correct.
Here's the message.
If you could take a look at that, Ms. Templin.
Yes, that's correct.
That's correct.
Mr. Chair, for members, because yep, we all did right, get the May 17th preliminary yes, analysis, right, but we're now working off the May 19th, I think it must be that second yes, and third line, I think, for the Biskins Amendment is my guess. But, Mr. Chair, I have a question because I've never heard this bill, you know, in another committee, and Representative Biskins, is this the standard percentage in the industry nationally?
Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Lincheski, I have no idea.
Representative Lincheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Representative Biskins, how would we know then if 0.5% is right, or if it should be 3%, or 0.25%, or where did the number come from?
Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Lincheski, the number came from, if you look on lines 1.18, all right, the second sentence, 0.5% of the revenue deposit in general funds appropriated Gambling Control Board for a grant to the state affiliate recognized by the National Council on Problem Gambling. That is an organization in Minnesota called the North Star Alliance that does education on problem gambling throughout the state of Minnesota, and this proposal has been offered up by that organization.
Mr. Chair, maybe Representative Kriesel has thoughts on the amendment, if this is the percentage he likes.
He's already stated that he supports the amendment.
Okay.
But we could. Representative Kriesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Lincheski, the current problem gaming fund comes out of our state lottery. Nobody else is mandated. None of the casinos are mandated to pay that now. So just by doing this, since there's going to be extra revenue, and there was concern among other members that there could be an increase in problem gaming, that we wanted to take care of that and give some of that to educate and prevent, treat.
Representative Chesky?
Thank you.
Now, to the amendment, any other questions? Or Ms. Templin?
Mr. Chair, just again for the record, the estimate of the amendment is based on an earlier version of the bill. And this may need to be, you know, when this gets to Ways and Means, it may need to be just re-estimated because the bill has changed in the A11 amendment. And so the revenue gain may be a little different for the set aside for the amounts intended. So,
discussion. Representative Downey.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I know I have not really studied this issue much, but I do know there are some estimates that problem gambling can cost a multiple of the revenue received. And I don't know whether that's true or not, or what the multiple is, if it's two times or three times. But I'm curious whether the author of the amendment or the author of the bill have any information about if a dollar spent on problem gambling prevention or treatment, is there any kind of a return on that? I mean, do we save $1,000 for of problem gambling impacts to society for every dollar we spend on treatment? Is there anything that says, it gives us information about the effectiveness of this?
Representative Creasel?
Mr. Chair, Representative Downey, I don't have the information on that. We know that there is problem gambling, and the belief is that if we can educate people and put this on their radar, maybe we can prevent it.
Representative Downey?
No, oh, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well, Representative Biskins?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to Representative Downey and any other member of this committee. I will talk to the folks at the North Star Alliance and see what numbers they may have directly to that point.
Questions to the amendment as amended? Representative Biskins renews his motion on the A11-0423 amendment. All in favor say as amended. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. We now have the bill. Are there any other amendments? Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I do have an amendment that would address the additional revenues that this might generate.
If we could have a page pass out the Loeffler amendment.
And while people are waiting for that, I just want to clarify, because this I haven't heard it in the other committees either, and so I'm trying to dance between the May 17th fiscal analysis and the May 19th, which I just found, which are done apparently from a little different perspective. But on the May 17th version, it said that with the new tax rates at the current levels of gambling, the state would lose about $20 million per year. Because of the reduction in the tax rate, but that because more people are expected to participate in gambling with the new opportunities, new types of equipment, new ways of playing, that it would attract more energy to gambling, that it would actually be a larger amount likely. And, you know, as everyone in the room knows, we're facing an incredibly difficult budget in which we have passed off the floor of the House bills that really decimate a lot of core basic services to the same populations that a lot of charitable gambling groups are work with, you know, in terms of frail, low-income seniors, people with serious disabilities, and our youth. And I believe in a balanced approach, both revenues and significant cuts to get to resolving that. And if we're in the tax committee going to consider bills that raise revenue, which this one would do unless we lowered the rate, but just expanding what's allowed in charitable or lawful gambling will bring in more money. I'd like to have that money then dedicated to those those core services for people with disabilities and youth. So what this amendment would do is it was based on the $20 million figure in the original May 17th estimate, and it says that $10 million each year would be dedicated to half to programs that for a competitive youth employment program. Those are being decimated in the jobs program that we have, and I know that a lot of the activities funded by these gambling operations are youth activities, and it would allow you to hire youth to do things, get them some money so they can afford their higher education now that that's getting more expensive. And the other half would go to help provide employment assistance to individuals with disabilities, another area that was cut significantly from its general fund support. So if we're going to raise more money by having more expansion of gambling rather than giving a tax break, I would like to dedicate it statewide to these groups.
Thank you, Representative Loeffler. And just so that I think the committee would have to agree with me that if this amendment went on, this bill would have to make a trip to Chair Gunther's Jobs and Economic Development Committee, I believe.
That'd be fine,
Mr. Chair. On that. So, Representative Creasley, your thoughts on the Loeffler 810 amendment?
Mr. Chair, members, this amendment, I believe, applies to the original bill before we amended it. So I don't know how it would fit in. And besides that, the reason we wanted to do the tax relief is to give these charities more money for their bottom line, because they're already helping our communities. They're helping the local sports programs. They help every one of our districts, every one of our cities, our counties, and they need more money. Speaking from Cottage Grove's perspective, they went from $120,000 in receipts in 2007. Now they're just over $20,000. So that's decimated. And so I really would like to help them. So I would oppose this amendment. I appreciate what she's trying to do, but those are the reasons I would oppose it.
Mr. Chair. Well, just to that point, I think there is going to be additional receipts, because we've heard from at least anyone who's talked to me that just by having new ways of playing, the electronics, that there are going to be more people participating. There's going to be higher volume, more energy. This takes a portion of it and dedicates those tax resources, so they'd get their same tax, the same percentage of the take as they get right now. So with increased participation, they would have an increased take at the local level, but that the taxes that we would retain at the state level at our current rates would be dedicated to these services. Because quite honestly, we can't, you know, I really appreciate what a lot of the charitable organizations do within their community, but you can't support the basic support. I mean, I haven't heard of a single organization that's helping disabled people find employment, and that's one of the programs that we've cut in our budget. I know there's a lot of them that serve people with disabilities for a variety of different ways. I think some of them, quite honestly, will want to apply for this youth employment program, because I think they're going to be able to put them to work. I know I've had relatives who've worked for the Little League and, you know, helped out at the hockey rink and been paid for it, and they have really appreciated that as their first job. And so I would really say that I think there will be increased revenues just because of the new games authorized. But that the new, and they should appreciate that and use it well in their communities, but that the growth in revenues that this will generate just on our current tax system ought to go to the general fund and help us deal with those core services. And Mr. Chair, I'd like to ask for a roll call.
Roll call has been requested. From the statewide association's perspective, what are your thoughts on the 810 amendment?
Mr. Chair, as I said, one of the three primary things is we wanted to add to the bottom line. You know, the organizations today, if you've got that fact sheet, you'll see we have the lowest amount of dollars available for lawful purposes we've had since back in the very first couple years of lawful gambling. And as such, the additional dollars that we could add from the bill as it's designed would really go a long ways. I think what we'll find is right now, at the time when we have the least amount of money to give towards these things and the various programs and products that we support, we have more requests than we've ever had. I do know there's one of the larger charities in the state is a...
I was thinking more like a yes or a no.
Mr. Chair, I think we'd prefer to keep the bill the way it is.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Chair?
Discussion two, and we got kind of a line of 6 o'clock, so I was very interested in what you were saying. I just didn't want to hear it. Representative Marquardt and Lincheski. Representative Marquardt.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. In reading the May 17th here fiscal note, it says that the current activity and with the new reduced tax rate, it would cost the state about $20 million. But now we know the activity is going to increase, according to the gambling board. So, in effect, if we kept the tax rates the same as they are, what would be the increased revenue? Does anyone...
We might want to keep Ms. Templin here, maybe.
Maybe Ms. Templin could...
And members, were on the Loeffler A-10 amendment.
Right, yeah, and Mr. Chair, I mean, the point here, I mean, we know we're... Just with the tax rate at the current activity levels, the state would be losing about $20 million. Now, at the new activity level, I would expect that to be a greater loss.
Ms. Templin?
Under versus current law.
Mr. Chair, Representative Marquardt, I believe the question is, what would the revenue gain be if you were just expanding laws to electronic gaming? I did ask that question to the Department of Revenue, and they came up with approximately $14 to $20 million, that range for the approximate revenue gain for those two electronic gaming areas. That was based on the version of the bill, the earlier version of the bill.
Mr. Wilson?
Mr. Chair, Representative Marquardt, one thing, the amendment, the 11.2 on the tax change, that's different from what was in the revenue estimate you're looking at. And from when the bill goes into effect up until next July 1st, when the new tax rate goes in, we're actually keeping all the rates the same. And that kind of, we needed to do that just because we actually do not know how quickly these devices will come. The Gambling Control Board is going to have to do rules, so we might see some in August. Maybe it's not till December, January, April. So knowing that, we pushed the effective date of the start of the new tax change to this simplified rate, and because of that, I think that was what was in the original revenue. It is, revenue note has been taken care of.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I guess what I'm looking for is when everything takes effect, what will be the revenue loss to the state as compared to current tax rate? It's going to be a loss.
Mr. Wilson?
If we're going to move
Mr.
that
Chair,
rate
Representative
down.
Marquardt, I have not seen that figure, so I do not know what it is.
I mean, maybe I'm, Mr. Chair, I guess at current level, because when rates go down, we're going to lose revenue. And at the current activity, that's at least... looks like $20 million. So even if it's $20 million, I think it would be higher because now you'd have more activity and at a lesser tax rate versus the old tax rate. And that's why I'm going to support this amendment because, I mean, with a $5 billion deficit, and, you know, I could go into all sorts of ways in which we could spend $20 million. I think this is very difficult. And I do have some other questions as far as, I mean, can we guarantee that the dollars that are saved with the lower tax rate will go straight into charitable donations?
Mr. Wilson?
I mean, can we guarantee that, or is it going to go into allowable expenses?
Mr. Wilson?
Mr. Chair, Representative Marquardt, I think that on the electronic link bingo, in the past, Representative Atkins, last couple years, carried that in that section. The law actually says that 50% of that must go towards lawful purposes. That hasn't been said before. And then the expenses has actually been well-defined, so I think that automatically is going to guarantee more money on the electronic link bingo. On the electronic pull tabs, we're trying to conform with our existing. What we've said is we're taking what we're currently doing and just modernizing it. I think because of the efficiencies of what the electronics does for us, because the rent has been spelled out a little bit better within the bill, as we made the devices portable only, so there will be less cost. The the other devices, the fixed base units, would it cost more? I think we are definitely going to see, it's going to be more efficient to do, and as such, it will have, it will be no more and probably less than our current allowable expense level.
Representative Mark.
That's good to know, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Any other questions to the Loeffler Amendment? The committee, Representative Lancheski, you have a question? Okay. Representative Drazkowski. Representative Drazkowski, if you could speak in the microphone, please. Just talk louder.
I'll spin over here.
I would. Is there, Mr. Chair? I would just like to understand more exactly how this revenue included in the amendment arrives in which account here. This is a special account, kind of where the money flows, that type of thing. I'm trying to catch up on the bill.
Okay, Ms. Templin.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And what it does is the revenue goes into the general fund, and of that amount, and it's, as we've discussed, it's very confusing to know exactly what that amount would be. It'd at least be $20 million a year. It could be, we expect, based on the growth, it would be higher. We just can't get at that. That was Representative Markworth's question. Of that amount, $10 million per year would be dedicated to these two purposes. So there would remain in the general fund $10 to $20 million of additional growth, plus $10 million that is, by this language, appropriated to the Department of Employment and Economic Development for the purposes of youth employment programs and helping people with disabilities secure employment, programs that we have cut in other budgets.
Representative Drazkowski, you just talk from there. That's, it'll pick it.
I think that gets me there.
Okay. To the amendment, Representative Loeffler renews her motion to pass the H1485810 amendment. The committee legislative assistant will take the roll.
Chair Davids?
No.
Representative Loon?
No.
Representative Lancheski?
Yes.
Representative Anderson?
No.
Representative Bills?
No.
Representative Biskins?
No.
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Representative Crawford?
No.
Representative Dabney?
Yes.
Representative Depke?
No.
Representative Downey?
No.
Representative Drazkowski?
No.
Representative Erickson?
No.
Representative Garofalo?
No.
Representative Gottwald is excused. Representative Hortman?
Aye.
Representative Kiffmeyer?
No.
Representative Knuth?
Yes.
Representative Coonan?
Yes.
Representative Lesh?
No.
Representative Loeffler?
Yes.
Representative Mack?
No.
Representative Markart?
Yes.
Representative Myra?
No.
Representative Paymar?
Yes.
Representative Rukavina?
No.
Representative Renbeck?
No.
Representative Tilbury?
No.
Representative Wardlow is excused.
There being 9 ayes and 18 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Item next, Representative Lancheski moves the H1485A4 amendment. Representative Lancheski, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A4 is now drafted incorrectly, but I know, Mr. Chair, you and the committee for many years has allowed people to just move them. I could ask Mr. Michael to tell me what changes I would need to make it conform, but I imagine it's not going to pass, so I don't know that we really need to go through that exercise. So if I can just
we will move forward to describe what okay. Amendment's going to fail here.
And given now that we just had a pro gambling vote of 2-1, I think we all know where this is going to go in the rest of this hearing, but there are a number of amendments. But this amendment, what it does is it deletes the tax cut for the gambling industry. Members, this bill, Representative Kriesel's bill, is a dramatic expansion of gambling in Minnesota. And anyone who wants to kid themselves that it isn't, it is. And in fact, what's been happening here is the new $20 million in revenue that's raised from gambling. And there's a lot of legislators who are fine with raising taxes, raising gambling. But what this would do is say the money goes to the deficit. We just watched Representative Loeffler's amendment go down, that we would rather give the gambling industry a tax cut than deal with the health and human service costs for those with disabilities. So, and that would have spent the money. So this amendment just says the money that's raised with this new Minnesota expansion of gambling will instead go to the $5 billion problem. So I know that the majority is got the position they're not going to raise revenue, but I mean, I think we all know that it's structured this way in this room so that it appears like it's not raising revenue. But in fact, the Creasel bill raises revenue. It's a dramatic expansion of gambling, and it takes the revenue and it gives the money, the new money that comes from taxpayers' pockets, back to the industry. That's what the current bill does. My amendment says if you're going to raise, have more gambling and expand gambling in Minnesota, and therefore get new revenue, which you're going to get, and the revenue estimates show that, instead of that money being returned to the industry, it's going to go to the general fund to begin, it's just $20 million bucks to the beginning of the $5 billion problem. And I know people, know that I've been a strong opponent of gambling, and I just want to be clear for the record, so Representative Creasel doesn't really know me. I oppose it for everyone. Charitable, racino, casinos, tribes. This is about the most regressive way we can raise revenue in the state. And it's predatory, and when states get addicted to it, it's worse. And, I know people have structured this bill now to feel like they're not voting to raise taxes, but the expansion of gambling will absolutely raise revenue, and the amendment, Mr. Chair, if I can move the A4 and ask for a roll call, says that the money will not be returned to the gambling industry and instead will begin to go to the deficit.
Okay, discussion, and I apologize to you. I should not have made the comment that the amendment that's not going to pass, but I would highly recommend a no vote. That'd be more appropriate. Okay, Representative Anderson S.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just hoping if Mr. Wilson could explain a little bit all the different things that the different charities do with the funds that they receive through this resource. I know a lot of police and fire departments, school districts, and so forth benefit from this revenue. If you could give us a little better picture of that, I think that would be helpful.
Mr. Wilson?
Representative Anderson, charitable gambling organizations, to be involved in charitable gambling or lawful gambling, as I guess Representative Kahn prefers, you have to only spend money on two things, allowable expenses or lawful purposes. And allowable expense is expense directly related to conduct of gambling. The rest is the lawful purpose side, includes taxes, and there's a laundry list of about 25 different categories. Organizations can contribute to 501c3 organizations. That's a big one. Towards education, I know I started as a gambling manager for Columbia Heights Athletic Boosters, and probably 98% of our money either went to our school district or our city rec department. I believe 23 to 25% of the money taken in from our lawful purposes goes towards government in one way, shape, or form. There are about 180 out of 1,300 organizations that are fire relief associations, and they're buying things like fire trucks, all the equipment associated with those types of things. That's a very important thing. And trust me, none of those things are cheap. Veterans is a huge deal. I think roughly close to 500 of the, maybe a little bit more of the organizations that do this are veterans groups, and they support a whole host of different programs within their communities. Again, these are community-based organizations. We actually, other than the 501c3s who can contribute to themselves, the other organizations cannot give it to themselves. They have to do it of this laundry list of 27 different things. Environment is something that a lot of organizations give to. Those are just a few off the top.
Representative Anderson, yes. Representative Lesh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever played skee-ball?
I have not, Representative Lesh.
You should really think about playing. It's a great game. You put tokens in a little machine, and they give you these wooden balls, and you roll them up the ramp, and you try to get them in a point circle. You usually have it at video arcades or at the state fair or whatever.
Representative Lesh, I have played that at the state fair. I didn't know that's what it was.
Yeah, it's called skee-ball.
Skee-ball.
So you can get an app on it for the iPhone, too. I don't have an app on it. But the great thing is, so you put in tokens to the skee-ball machine, and if you get a lot of points, you get tickets out of the machine. And it's really cool because you can then redeem tickets. And if you get about 1,000 tickets, you can usually get one of those little wax monkeys that you set on the dashboard of the car, which you've spent, I don't know, probably like $300 to get. And it's a lot of fun, but I was just thinking about that when I heard Mr. Wilson speak, and I was also thinking about Representative Chesky's comments. For me, I just don't think the government should be addicted to the crack of gambling in any way, which is why I hope the way I do on this, and which is why I respectfully disagree with Representative Chesky and Representative Loeffler and their amendments to try to divert gambling revenue to government. At the beginning of this country, governments were funded primarily on the minuscule property taxes they got out of urban areas, cities, and colonial lotteries. Now we moved a long way from there to the point where now we're protecting the top 2% of income earners in order to fund ways that they used to in medieval days, and I just fundamentally disagree with it. So I like skee ball, but I don't think government should do that.
Any other comments to the A foreman with Representative Marquardt?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And I gamble. I've got nothing against principles as far as gambling. But my real concern with the bill, Representative Kreisel, is in time of a huge budget deficit, we're lowering tax rates for gambling. I mean, that's going to cost the state money. And don't get me wrong with this, but I don't know if a tax cut here is the most efficient way to get dollars out to organizations. I mean, Walmart, I know in the city of Dilworth, used to contribute a lot of things to organizations. And they pay property taxes, they pay, I'm sure, a corporate income tax and all sorts of things. And, you know, last year, the Star Tribune ran a story on how few dollars, or what a small percentage of the actual gambling dollars get back to charitable organizations or back to charitable donations. And, you know, I went on there, and I guess maybe Mr. Wilson can answer this, but I took 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 kind of random charitable organizations and looked at the percent of their gross receipts that ultimately went into charitable donations. And there was one group, and I won't mention the name, that had gross receipts of $1.6 million that gave a total of $850 in charitable donation. There was another one that had gross receipts of $67,000 and gave, this according to the Minnesota Gambling Control Board from July 09 to June of 10, out of that $67,000 gave $200 to charitable donations. And there's no guarantee that a decrease in taxes that they have to pay is going to increase the amount that they give to charity. I mean, things are kind of all over the board. One of the largest ones in the state here, $5.6 million in gross receipts, gives a total of 2.0% of that in charitable donations. And so when it's that trickle down, we're only, 2%, or in one case, 0.05% or 0.3% is ultimately going to the, what Mr. Wilson just said, all these groups. Boy, I don't know, members, if that's the most efficient way to use a dollar of tax revenue that could be coming into the state, and only, 2% is going to be used to where we want. And, if you look at allowable expenses this is after all the prizes have been paid, and you do have a net receipt, which is about 20% of the total gross. But in a lot of these cases, the allowable expenses are 5 or 6 times higher, or in one case, 100 times higher, than what's given out in a charitable donation. And I think if you ask folks, I know if I ask folks back in Dilworth, what percent of that dollar you use on a poll tab or when you play bingo goes to the local softball team, they probably think, at least a quarter or something. It's like 1 or 2 cents. And so, members, like I said, as far as expanding gambling, that's not an issue for me. But this is a really big issue as far as revenues when we're in very, very difficult times. And if the thought is because all of these dollars are going to get out to all of these good organizations, I just don't think this is the most efficient way to do that. I don't know if there's any response to that, but...
Mr. Wilson?
Mr. Chair, Representative Marquardt, obviously, you know, we saw that article. Actually, I had an opportunity to be interviewed for that, and I believe that there were some flaws. Actually, I think it was a week and a half later, we did get a letter to the editor or op-ed published. I believe one of the things that the reporter really missed on was is she had no interest in looking at the tax situation. And the bigger the organization are with one of the taxes, the combined receipts, you start to pay more. And as you pay more, I mean, as you're more successful, your tax rate goes up exponentially. If you look what's in the bill, I mean, right now it's 1.7 is what you pay up front to a distributor. Then if you get above 500,000, another 1.7, over 700, another 1.7, and over 900,000, another 1.7. So in those instances, you're paying like 6.8% in taxes. And I think if you look at a lot of those numbers, you would find that, you know, groups that are paying five or six times as much in taxes before they have money for their bottom line. To the allowable expense question, you know, I think organizations, particularly in this economic downturn, you know, we've lost $400 million in the last 6 years in revenues, and we actually run pretty efficient. I know at a previous hearing there had been a question, and if you take charitable gambling, our overall expenses are around 10.5%, and if we would compare that to our own Minnesota State Lottery, which does a good job, is very successful, they're closer to 14.5% to 15%. So I think we do run pretty lean and mean. By changing the tax to the flat tax, I think you will see, you know, those larger organizations, everybody's going to be on the same playing field, and what will happen is there will be those groups will have many more dollars for their bottom line. And that's really what we're looking for.
Mr. Chair.
Is that Marquardt?
If I might, and I appreciate those comments, but, you know, when I look at this, and this can come from the text of that article, it came from Minnesota Gambling Control Board, where you could go on there and actually see the numbers that, you know, are public record. But in almost all of these, like this largest one, the allowable expenses, which they're using for, I don't know, salaries, I suppose, and maybe rental of the building, is twice that of the taxes. Here's one that's about four times allowable expenses versus the taxes and fees they paid, about four times more in allowable expenses. Here's another one about five times, another one about four times. What I'm saying is, to me, it doesn't look like the taxes are the holdup to getting dollars to charitable donations. And I just, so, you know, I think everyone on this board wants to help charitable organizations, but I just don't see this tax cut being beneficial when we look at everything else we're at. I just don't see the dollars getting to where we want when, like, you know, less than 1% in some cases of these are actually getting out to charitable donations when we're in a $5 billion deficit. I don't know how we can defend this, members. I mean, if we had $20 million to spend, would it be here? When we're just saying 2% actually of all the revenues, receipts, get out to charitable donations? I appreciate the bill, and I have nothing against the gambling portion of it. I just, this dollar amount, as far as where we've talked about this in this committee many times. You know, we have a certain amount of dollars. What's the most efficient way to use that? And I know, Representative Downey, you're always looking for the most efficient way and get the best value and for the dollar. And I don't know, you know, if many could agree this is the best way to use $20 to $25 million. So enough said.
Thank you, Mr. Marker. It'd be my intention that we take a vote to send us to Ways and Means without recommendation by about 5:55, so we can just kind of figure out how much time we should be spending on each amendment. Real quickly, Representative Creasel, do you support the A4 amendment?
I do not.
Okay. Further questions, Representative Lincheski?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, as the author of the amendment, and you know, Mr. Wilson, you do a great job for your organization, and I respect you. And this is not about the charitable side. This is about what tax policy is the tax committee going to support And then if we're going to do this, what are we going to do with it? Because I actually agree with Representative Lesh in regard at, you know, hey, why are Loeffler and Lincheski trying to divert the money? Let's not have government even need it. And I'm going to vote against the bill because I agree with that. But if the majority here, and it appears in a 2-to-1 vote, is okay with expanding gambling, then I think this is the chance, because it's only going to Ways and Means next, to say that, okay, for all the people who like to expand gambling here now, because the vote was 18-9 for a dramatic gambling expansion in the state of Minnesota, let's put the money, as Representative Loeffler tried and failed, for folks with disabilities, and I'm trying and probably will fail, for the deficit. Instead, we're now going to give the money back to the industry. That's what's going on here. And members, I gamble too. I gamble in the stock market. I think anybody who thinks they don't gamble, I think most people do gamble. I gamble in the stock market. Folks can have morality views about gambling. That isn't my concern. When the government's involved, and government's involved in this in a big way, and it is predatory. It is. Anybody who doubts that gambling is not predatory has not read the research on who's doing this sort of gambling, and if we need to have people smoke more, drink more, and gamble more to run the government, boy, we got big problems in this state. And I hope folks will vote for this amendment, but I'm going to vote against the bill, but it appears Representative Creasley, you're going to have a 2-to-1 majority for your bill here. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
For the discussion, the committee legislative assistant will take the roll.
Chair Davids?
No.
Representative Loon?
No.
Representative Lincheski?
Yes.
Representative Anderson?
No.
Representative Bills?
No.
Representative Biskins?
No.
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Representative Crawford?
No.
Representative Dabney?
Aye.
Representative Depke?
No.
Representative Downey?
No.
Representative Juskowski?
No.
Representative Erickson?
No.
Representative Garofalo?
No. No.
Representative Hortman?
Aye.
Representative Kiffmeyer? Representative Knuth?
Yes.
Representative Coonan?
No.
Representative Lesh?
Yes.
Representative Loeffler?
Yes.
Representative Mack?
No.
Representative Marquardt?
Yes.
Representative Myra?
No.
Representative Paymar? Representative Rukavina? Representative Runbeck?
No.
Representative Tilbury?
Yeah, this doesn't really
okay.
Say it. Well, 20 million for the
there being 8 ayes and 17 nays, the amendment does not prevail. Item next, Representative Lincheski moves the H1485A6 amendment. Representative Lincheski, 2-year amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I don't think people have it yet.
Thank you.
But this just requires a local approval. If we're going to allow a dramatic expansion of gambling, this is a voter approval. Folks should know that. So, like, let's take the city of Bloomington. If they want to, when this bill passes, they want to increase the new electronic slots, or I know they're called different terms here, but, you know, it's a little bit slower than slots, electronic poll tabs, then there will be a vote of the community to do this expansion of gambling. And I'm sorry I didn't bring my folder here. I do see Mr. McCormick from House Research in the room. But I don't see Ms. Dyson, and I did a lot of research on votes for gambling expansion in the state, and the overwhelming majority of states that have done gambling expansions allow for voter approval first, either in the Constitution or in the community. There are very few places that there have not been a vote of the people. So let's say my city of Bloomington wants all their charitable expansions to start having electronic slots. The people of Bloomington are going to get to vote on that. I know people have strong feelings about gambling and they're convinced that their side is right, and I'm one of those people too. But to the committee members and to you, Representative Creasel, I've had folks since I've been here trying to stick a casino in my city since I've been here. So before I got here, former Senator Dick Day carried a bill to stick a casino in my city. Former Representative Boudreaux carried a bill to put a casino in my city. Governor Plenty tried to meet with my city council to put a casino in my city. And Governor Dayton would like a casino in my city. And thankfully, so far, none of that's happened. That's not what your bill's about. But I oppose gambling. And I can tell you, in always arming myself on these expansions of gambling, I decided to do something this year I've never done, and I think it's relevant to this amendment, Mr. Chair. I decided on my own to attend the National State Conference of Gaming States. And I'm sure a lot of people in this room go to that, and I decided to go to one. And because most states are using gaming to solve some of their problems, and the experience was absolutely horrifying. And members, I hope you think long and hard before you start turning Minnesota into what these states are doing. And this is a small step, but it's a step. So you get there, and there's our lottery director was there, and his staff was there. There's legislators from all over the country, and they're all, you know, trying to figure out, how do we get people to gamble more? That's the whole point of the conference. Because when the economy goes down, receipts go down. And so now you can't fund education. So now you need to get people to gamble more. And so there's a whole industry that is designing the technology to make, I mean, literally the science of the brain to get people addicted quicker. It's a subset of gamblers. The faster the play, you can actually watch brain scans. People absolutely get addicted to the act. They can't stop. They start, you know, the church treasurer starts stealing the money. And it's, you know, I can get all the articles out for you that's happened all over Minnesota where people are going under because of gambling. So there's a whole industry that is trying to get people to gamble more. And then there's all these legislators who are addicted to it as well. And here's what happens. First, you need one racino, and that makes some money, but then now you need another one. And you're Florida, and you have 18. Then you're New Jersey, and you need, I mean, all the states that go down this road get in trouble with it. They're having dramatic problems, and as part of, you know, sort of fairness at the conference, they have to let the other side have a speaker or two. So out of 3 days of tons of speakers, in come the folks who actually study this, and really, it's quite fearful, and I would like to see people at least pass a voter approval. The crime, prostitution, divorce, suicide, etc., that goes with where there is lots of gambling is undeniable. It's just undeniable. Undeniable. The data is the overwhelming majority of gambling that happens in any gambling facility, whether it's charitable in the bar at the VFW, in a casino at Racino, the preponderance of the money comes from people who live within 30 miles of the facility. It's just the truth. So if your city wants to expand gambling, they need to know it's a tax on their own residents. That's what it is. It's not like if Representative Garofalo in Farmington, they want to do more charitable gambling, like everyone from Hinckley is going to drive and gamble in Representative Garofalo's community. It's going to be his residents who are going to do this. And voter approval has been the way that the majority of gambling expansions, whether they're racinos, casinos, or this, have come through in the state of Minnesota. So I hope at a minimum folks can let, you know, we've got a lot of talk upstairs about letting the people decide. Let the local people vote if they want this new electronic. And members, this is not like poll taps. It's not. Look at the machine. I went into those casinos. And I forced myself to do this because I don't gamble, and I went at 2 in the afternoon and 4 and 6 at night and 9 and 2 in the morning and 4 in the morning and 6 in the morning, and they're 24-7, and you know, people are talking to them and stroking them and saying nice things to machines. It's pretty scary. But those are slots, okay? So, I mean, so pull tabs are a slower game. Pull tabs are a slower game, but look at what's on that table, members. Those aren't pull tabs. This is how the truth of the industry works. It's like racinos. The horses don't make any money. And card clubs get you on TV so you can watch poker, but slots make the money. It's just the fact about the industry. This is the first step in. They're sitting right there. They're not little pull tabs where people are sitting there slowly pulling them off. They're going to be able to gamble quicker. They're going to be able to waste money faster. And it's your constituents who are going to pay this tax. And if you look at the tax incidence report, I think members are kidding themselves if they don't think this is an expansion of gambling. It absolutely is. Members, I hope you'll support the amendment. I'd like a roll call. This would simply allow each of us, if this becomes law, that our constituents would be able to vote on this. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Creasel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would also oppose this amendment.
Okay, discussion. The committee legislative assistant will take the roll call. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Rukavina.
No, Mr. Chair, but Representative Rukavina, I'm sure, will push that bill later this year. So.
Representative Rukavina? Representative Debke?
Yes, thank you. Representative Creasel, from what I understand from what Representative Valencheski is saying, it sounds like this is amendment for the entire state. You had indicated that this was going to be in 8 charitable places or 13.
Mr. Chair, Representative Debke, though this would be any place that currently has paper poll tabs or is allowed to have paper poll tabs, they would have that there. It would just be in there. And it's similar to, okay, we don't hand write things anymore for the most part, except King apparently does. We use computers. It's just modernizing it. That's all it is. It's a pull tab on there, and you touch it. And I can pull tabs faster than I could use one of these. So, you know, I might stick with the paper pull tabs.
Representative Debke?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, the committee legislative assistant will take the roll on the E6 amendment.
If I have those on the
Chair Davids?
No.
Representative Loon?
No.
Representative Valencheski?
Yes.
Representative Anderson?
No.
Representative Bills?
No.
Representative Biskins?
No.
Representative Carlson?
Aye.
Representative Crawford?
No.
Representative Dabney?
Yes.
Representative Debke?
Yes.
Representative Downey?
Yes.
Representative Drazkowski?
No.
Representative Erickson?
No.
Representative Garofalo?
No.
Representative Hortman?
Aye.
Representative Kiffmeyer? Representative Knuth?
Yes.
Representative Coonan?
Yes.
Representative Lesh?
Aye.
Representative Loeffler?
Yes.
Representative Mack?
Yes.
Representative Marquardt?
No.
Representative Myra?
No.
Representative Paymar?
No.
Representative Rukavina?
No.
Representative Runbeck?
No.
Representative Tilbury?
There being 11 ayes and 14 nays, the motion does not prevail. Item next, Representative Dabney.
You'll like this one.
It's the H1485A9 amendment. And if we could get right to what we have here, and again, we would like to vote on this by about 5 minutes to Representative Dabney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll try to be brief. Members who remember the Loeffler amendment and the financing structure of capturing the increased revenue off this expansion of gambling, this amendment is structured similarly, the difference being that this establishes a special revenue fund under the control of the Commissioner of Education to support STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math. Education. What members who don't serve on the K-12 committees may not know, and I started looking around the room and realizing there's actually a fair number of folks who do, besides the two chairs, Representative Debke, Representative, Representative Lesh's head is too big, but I think Representative Downey is there, Representative Bills, I'm sure there are others here that I'm not seeing. In just the last year or so, the state adopted new mathematics education standards. And they're very good, they're very rigorous, they're very challenging, but there was a strong engineering theme woven in across the K-12 steps in those standards. And that's all well and good, but it's expensive for the schools because now they have to not only teach math, they have to teach engineering, which requires gizmos and stuff that's expensive. And the schools were concerned about that. Members may recall that the K-12 finance bill that we voted off the floor a couple of mornings ago, and that is on the governor's desk now is a $44 million cut to K-12 education, $80 million below the governor's proposal, so it doesn't represent stable funding for the schools. This would allow us to focus in on an important area of STEM education that is critical to the state's further economic development, creating opportunity for our students, as well as capture some of the revenue that we otherwise would be giving up. With that, Mr. Chair, I'll ask for a roll call.
Roll call having been requested. Representative Creasel.
I would oppose this amendment as well.
Discussion. The committee legislative assistant will take the roll call.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, Representative Dabney.
I would just like to point out I considered having the math grants go specifically to enhanced teaching of probability and statistics, but I chose not to.
What do you think the probability of this amendment is?
Based on recent statistics, not so good. But Mr. Chair, better than poll tabs.
Good point. If you take the roll, please.
Chair Davids.
No.
Representative Loon.
No.
Representative Lencheski.
Yes.
Representative Anderson.
No.
Representative Bills.
No.
Representative Viskins.
No.
Representative Carlson.
Aye.
Representative Crawford.
No.
Representative Dabney.
Yes.
Representative Depke.
No.
Representative Downey.
No.
Representative Druskowski.
No.
Representative Erickson.
No.
Representative Garofalo.
No.
Representative Gottwaltz, excuse. Representative Hortman.
Aye.
Representative Kiffmeyer. Excuse. Representative Knuth.
Yes.
Representative Coonan.
Yes.
Representative Lesh.
No.
Representative Loeffler. Representative Mack?
No.
Representative Marquardt?
Yes.
Representative Myra?
No.
Representative Paymar?
Yes.
Representative Rukavina?
Yes.
Representative Runbeck? Representative Tilbury? Representative Wardlow is excused.
There being 10 ayes and 14 nays, the A9 amendment does not prevail. Any other amendments? We'll now open it up for some Representative Lencheski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I did not do a constitutional amendment, but I just want to say that, you know, that's something I considered, but I'm not a fan of constitutional amendments. I don't think these kind of things in anything, really. I voted against Clean Water Legacy. I'm not a fan of amending our Constitution, but I do want to say to Representative Creasel and to the group, I mean, what I was talking about earlier, you know, is statute, and it didn't go on, but the legislature could change its mind. But the Constitution matters as it relates to gambling, as members who follow this know. A casino, state-run casino, as Governor Dayton has said he supported, a racino, as Governor or as Representative Biskins has supported, slots and bars, as Representative Rukavina has supported, are arguably all unconstitutional in the Minnesota Constitution. No one really knows. I think every one of those things would most certainly be sued, and there would be long litigation. But I know, having read Mr. McCormick's work on and Mr. Michael's work over the years, looking at, you know, the question legally, and I think it's relevant here, can this happen? Does this fit the Minnesota Constitution? And I was actually looking for my little blue Minnesota Constitution, and I don't know. And I understand, at least I've heard in the halls, and you can correct me, that there's been some attempt to get tribal support for this bill. And I don't have an interest in protecting tribal interests on gaming. I oppose that, too. But, you know, the Minnesota Constitution is very clear that there, you know, it took constitutional amendment to allow the gaming we do have. And so new forms of gaming may not fly in the Minnesota Constitution, and this might not either. And I don't know the answer to that. I'm not an attorney, but there's a lot of, you know, literature about it, and folks here who want to know more can ask people who are here, either now or later, about if this particular legislation, if it's signed by Governor Dayton, will ever become law. And I just wonder, Representative Creasel, if you know, what's your view if your bill here now passes and then moves along still this year and is signed, do you anticipate this bill will be challenged?
Representative Creasel.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lencheski, no, I do not, because it's my belief that it's not an expansion of gambling. It uses the current laws that allow pull tabs. It's just electronic pull tabs. So it's just a modernization of current gaming that is legal right now.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, I'm not a legal mind here. I think this might be the one thing that would stand. But I do think, because there's been a lot of legislators bipartisanly who think, you know, gambling should be a way to deal with the state deficit, and I think all of them would end up in the courts for a long time, except maybe this one. But I just hope members understand that as you vote for this, you know, because I'm not I don't believe in legislating through constitutional amendment. I talked to Representative Drazkowski about this at great length with his 3/5 tax increase proposal. I think it's kind of the chicken way to be a legislator, but I do think folks should think about this, and they should read, if this gets to the floor, the Minnesota Constitution as it relates to gaming. And, you know, I know we're here on the tax items, Mr. Chair, but I just wanted to bring that up. I can only imagine that with, you know, 2 days till adjournment, the only reason we would be taking up a bill like this is because some way down the road the majority is going to do gaming to get us out of the deficit. I mean, I don't know why we would be doing this on a Saturday with a $5 billion problem. I suppose this is the way to get it all relevant, so in the end there's going to be gambling, and I hope members will take the constitutional effects of this sort of a bill into effect if it makes it to the floor. And I'm just going to vote against the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Lucheski. Discussion? Representative Loeffler.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just think that as we ponder how we're going to vote, we should just remember this is a tax cut that's before us. You know, the other committee's got to decide whether, you know, this is expanding or not expanding gambling, you know, whatever. It's going to bring in more revenue just because of past experiences of other states. And so, you know, the decision was made to, you know, give them a tax cut so it doesn't have net revenue, and some of us aren't allergic to net revenue. But, you know, if I were in this tax committee going to give a tax cut, I know the majority of the people that I represent would prefer to have it as a property tax refund increase or a renter's credit increase or something that's under the purview of this bill, more than they would appreciate this. And so I just really think that we need to realize that that's what we're voting on, is to lower the tax rate on this particular type of business. And it may do good things in some communities, but it's a tax cut that we're voting on right now.
Thank you, Representative Loeffler. Discussion? Representative Drazkowski.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to just ask the author about what his intention with the bill as it goes through is. I think some of us may support this bill, but not support a Lucino bill or a Lackey bill or something else that could eventually be amended to it. So Representative Creese, I'd be interested. Do you intend to ensure that you maintain the integrity of the bill and form of gambling that it has going through, and not to extend it or replace it with something else?
Representative Creasel. Mr. Chair, Representative Drazkowski, I haven't been shy about my views on gambling. I have multiple bills. I definitely want to keep this one separate. I will not allow it to be a vehicle for anything like anything else. I have a Block E bill. I signed on to Racino. I have other bills that, you know, may or may not be something we look at down the road. This is one that I want to help the charities, I want to help the bars, I want to help these small businesses. This will be on its own. You have my word. It will not be a vehicle for anything else.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Creasel, do you foresee the need for more enforcement because of these types of machines? And so have you worked with public safety as a result?
Representative Creasel.
Mr. Chair, Representative Erickson, I have Tom Barrett here from the Gaming Control Board. If you have questions for him, he could come up to the microphone and answer them. There's a slight increase in personnel that they would need. The beauty of this is with the automation, we'd be able to see in real time where the money's going, how much is coming in. So as far as enforcement goes, this is a lot better than what we have now.
And members, if we could stick to the tax issues.
Okay.
We've had other committees that this has gone through.
Mr.
Any
Mr.
other?
Chair.
Person,
okay,
Erickson?
I'm sorry. This is not tax related. I'm sorry.
Okay. Other
Mr.
questions?
Chair?
Person Lucheski?
Well, just, I guess I'd ask for a roll call, but just in, I listened to Representative Drazkowski, Mr. Chair, ask the author, you know, is this going to become something else? And, you know, the authors don't get to necessarily control that on the floor. 68 votes decides. what happens on the floor. So if I may ask, Mr. Chair, so you, Representative Creasel, you'll withdraw the bill on the floor?
Representative Creasel?
Yeah, I would withdraw the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
A roll call has been, further discussion on the tax issues? I will renew my motion. House File 1485 be recommended to pass without recommendation to the Ways and Means Committee as amended. The committee legislative assistant will take the roll.
Chair Davids?
Yes.
Representative Loon?
Yes.
Representative Lincheski?
No.
Representative Anderson? Representative Bills?
Yes.
Representative Biskins?
Yes.
Representative Carlson?
No.
Representative Crawford?
Yes.
Representative Dabney?
No.
Representative Depke?
Yes.
Representative Downey?
No.
Representative Joskowski?
Yes.
Representative Erickson?
Yes.
Representative Garofalo?
Yes.
Representative Hortman?
No.
Representative Kiffmeyer? Representative Knuth?
No.
Representative Coonan?
Yes.
Representative Lesh?
No.
Representative Loeffler?
No.
Representative Mack?
No.
Representative Marquardt?
No.
Representative Myra?
Yes.
Representative Paymar? Representative Rukavina?
Yes.
Representative Runbeck?
Yes.
Representative Tilbury? Representative Warren?
Double check on this and make sure I got it right. I've got 14 to 11. There being 14 ayes and 11 nays, the motion prevails without recommendation to the Ways and Means Committee. Thank you, Representative Creasel. And members, we'll adjourn here in a second, but I just wanted to thank this is, I think, this is. We don't know that. I just want to thank all the members and the staff and all the research and the fiscal folks and Bobby Patrick and Jennifer and the pages. With that, good government all the time. We are adjourned.